Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Well, believe it or not, not or believe it, this is Radio Protea coming to you live from Jerusalem. Now, of course, your host for tonight, or your hosts for tonight, are yours truly, Errol Ballin, very, very well-known young man I am. And for those who don't know me yet, you haven't been born yet. Jokes aside, welcome, welcome back. There's been a long break. Radio Protea has got all sorts of new equipment, and new equipment is on the way. And it is such a pleasure to be speaking with you again. This will be Radio Protea and Radio Muggin. And a lot of fun will be had by all. Now, due to technical difficulties, I'm attempting to get Sean Hay connected, but we have a new virtual studio, and that looks like it's going to be a little more difficult than first envisaged. I would just like to say to all the people that that remained our friends and faithful to Radio Protea, thank you very much, and I can assure you that from next week, we are going to have a spectacular, as usual, regular programming with all our regulars, and Joni Rose, or sorry, Joan Zawatsky, we have to get more formal on this radio station, and doing her psychology thing. I don't know if she has the time to do a weekly slot, but we will try and convince her to come on as often as possible. And all the other presenters and the regulars, and of course we've got some wonderful new presenters knocking on the door, and Radio Muggin has a whole list of the top pro-Israeli people available and standing by, ready to give you the best of their knowledge and so on. Right now, this is proving to be a very, very difficult situation, trying to get Sean Hay on the line. So I'm going to attempt once more to play a little bit of musica, and we'll try and do that. And then we'll be back and we'll have a little chat. Well, this is a surprise indeed. I think I have Sean Hay at last. So, and he needs no introduction because he is the legendary raconteur, historian, storyteller, sportsmaster, family man, husband, and he happens to be a friend of mine as well, which is his only downfall. Sean, do we have you with us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me, Errol?
I can hear you as clearly as if you were sitting in Studio 1.
No, I'm in Studio 3. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I was just saying hello to the listeners, and welcoming them back to Radio Protea. And of course, thanking them for hanging in there while we sorted out all the technical palaver. And here we are, Sean. Where have you been? Oh, yeah, you've been everywhere.
It's been a long time since we were last on the air. There's been a war. I've been traveling. Everything's been going on, man. Things have been. And besides that, let me just tell the listeners that Errol's grown a thick white beard. He looks like Santa's younger brother, much younger brother. But a nice thick white beard. He's looking very dapper, I must say.
I must tell you that it's mixed with a bit of red, and I'm looking pretty rugged. I must admit, I look like a backwoodsman.
A very bit of red. But anyway, no, it's good. It's good. It looks good. It suits you, man. It suits you.
No, it does, because I'm a very macho type thing. Sean, it is so good to be back on air again. And
yes, I've looked forward to
the listeners that from next week, this is just a Hello Again program. Hello Again. Then we're going to, from next week, of course, we're going to have all the regular programming with all the wonderful people, Joan Zawatsky, and we'll do her bit, and we're going to try and have Thim John or Jonathan Danilovitz. He has always got a lot of very valuable stuff to add. And we've got Barry Shaw and a lot. And of course, the beautiful Rolene Marks. And then, of course, we're going to have your program, which is very, very important. The stories and the things that you love to that you love to tell. But we have a very exciting... I just wanted to ask you, Shauna, you do historical programs, how far back do you go?
Well, it's because
we have a supporter on this radio station, a spectacular supporter, who's a lovely person, but she's old. And I don't know. She predates history. This, of course, I'm talking about our wonderful friend Naomi. And would you go back that far in history to do a program on Naomi?
You know what, Errol? I've actually gone back. I've made programs about even prehistoric things in Southern Africa. I've also done programs on the very ancient things, ancient cities that they found, like similar to the Zimbabwe ruins in the area of the Kruger Park. I did a great program on that. And I think actually Naomi was born in that area around that time. It was, I don't know, it was like at least a millennia ago.
Well, you know, just checking, because Naomi is a wonderful lady and a great supporter of this program, but she's old. Wow, she's old. And so I thought that maybe we could do, and she has a very interesting life, so maybe we'll do a feature on her on one of your programs. But I just wanted to know if you would go back that far, because that's far back.
Yeah, no, I'll go back far. But actually, our listeners might not know this, but three of Radio Protea's favorite people had birthdays in the last week, few weeks. There was Naomi had a birthday, and John Zawadzki's birthday was also quite recently. And you also, man, you also had a birthday, apparently.
Stop it, Shona. Stop it, Shona. You're exaggerating the situation. Actually, Naomi didn't have a birthday.
She didn't?
But no, her birthday is a little bit later on in the year. But we let her have, because she, you know, everybody else was having a birthday, so she thought, oh, well, she'll just jump on the bandwagon and have a birthday too. So I believe she's already had two birthdays this year already, and she's due for another two or three. That's why she's so old, because, you know, dogs leap and bound in 7 years to our 1 year. And I think that she's the dog thing. So she has seven every year, and that's why she's turned out so old.
Oh, no, that makes sense. You see, now I understand what's going on. Yeah,
she's a great supporter of this radio station, and besides the fact that that we're joking about her now. She's a truly, truly wonderful human being, and we all love her very much indeed. The other people that are going to feature on the radio, there'll be the regulars, and then there'll be new people. But
yes, we've got a lot of exciting new programming coming.
Now, one of the the most listened to and popular programs that we have is your Wednesday story slot, giving us the tastes and flavors and history, and you just bring South Africa into our homes and back to life, and I look forward to that every week. And of course, you make me hungry when you start the South African food thing, but it's absolutely wonderful. Now, I would just, if you will indulge me, I would love you to tell us a little bit about, because of course you went on this big voyage of discovery to South Africa, which left me here in Jerusalem by myself, feeling very sorry for myself and very jealous. But you took your wonderful family, and you had a obviously a spectacular time. And I'm very interested to hear of not only the facts and figures, and you went here and you went there, but your observations, and specifically the changes, good, bad, or indifferent. But before we do that, you know, the one thing, you know what I love, Shaunay?
Yeah.
Is a good naughty. But that's a clementine or a thing. But other than that, I love to showcase new talent. I love to showcase new talent because it gives me such a kick to think that we are helping somebody, and that we are bringing talent to not only to our listeners but to the world. And next week in our features and so on, amongst other things, we have a band called Mystique. Now, this is a young the fellow's name is Sean. I don't know why he copied you, but there you go, you see. Sean and Leanne. And they've done their first single now, and they're working on an album, and we will have them, and we'll chat to them. Now, these are people that are they're very good, of course, and they do all the work from their studio at home. So they've built a studio, and it just shows that with a bit of determination and a bit of talent, anything is possible. So I think before you start on your South African story, I have their music here, and I'd just like to play it tonight, and then next week we'll play this and some of their cover versions and so on, and enjoy them. So for now, whilst you get ready and put on your safari suit and your long socks, we just will listen to this, and then we'll be back in a few moments to hear about South Africa through the eyes of Sean Hay.
Cool.
When I was young, you held my hand, you held me tight. Said everything's gonna be alright. When I fell down, you picked me up. You always knew just how and what to do. Not a day goes by that I don't think of you. You are always there for me, and I want you to know. You are the one, you made me
Information on them, you know, that's my thing, man. So anyway, they're called Mystique. They come out of Benoni, actually, on the East Rand.
Benoni, yes.
And they've only recently started doing some live shows, but it's a guy called Sean Ferreira and a lady called Leanne Dreyer. And very nice, man. Very, very, very nice. Very nice and relaxing music.
I think,
a very nice sound.
They've got a future. I think they'll break through the top. And
anyone who does what they really love doing deserves a break.
Yeah, I remember you heard it first on Radio Protea.
Yeah, Errol found them. Well done, Errol.
Okay, so now, Sean, I know that it's a bit sudden, and I shouldn't have just hoid this on you, but tell us about South Africa.
Okay, you just got to excuse me for 1 minute. I'm drinking tea and mint, which is a very Israeli thing, teim nana. In Hebrew, mint is called nana. And I'm just drinking tea and mint.
There's a song about mint. Na, 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 na.
Yeah, well, I don't know if it's that, but still a good one. Anyway, Errol, you know, after 9 years, I went back to South Africa. I felt that I was missing it really very, very much. There were some people I had to see, things I had to do, and I really had to get out of my system. So we went off. I took my children, the little ones, and my wife, and my mother-in-law, actually, and we went to South Africa. It was absolutely amazing. I loved every minute of it. We were there for nearly a month, and we only managed to do basically the Transvaal and Natal and Zululand and the safari area also. And it was amazing. I went to the little town I was born in called Vryheid. I mean, I left there in 1977, you know, to live in Johannesburg. But I went to Vryheid, hadn't been there since 1981 for a visit. And not much has changed. It's still amazing. It's still this cute little place, all near all the battlefields, which I took my children to see, and I told them the stories of each battle, you know, Majuba and Skunstrift and all of them, even Skippers. We did all of that, and it was funny because we drove about 4,000 kilometers. You know, in South Africa, you got to drive if you want to see stuff. And my past programs really prepared me for this trip because everywhere we drove to, I had like stories for the children to tell. I mean, it was so nice. On the second day, we were driving up to Blider River Canyon, which I actually forgot how incredible Blider River Canyon actually is. It's the third biggest canyon in the world, and it's absolutely stunning. We got there late at night, so we couldn't see anything. And we woke up at sunrise, and we were right under the Three Rondavels. It was just unbelievable. But I told my children the story of how Pilgrim's Rest came about, and the story of Wheelbarrow Patterson. If anyone wants to know the story, go into the Radio Protea archives and look up the stories of Pilgrim's Rest. I did three or four programs on Pilgrim's Rest. So basically wherever we went, it was amazing. I must say the people were so friendly. I mean, we drove through Zululand, we drove all over. People were really friendly. They were especially excited when they heard we lived in Jerusalem. Everybody was just got so excited with that fact that, wow, you live in Jerusalem. It was, and honestly, I believe that Johannesburg, with all its problems, it's truly the capital of Africa. It's unbelievably cosmopolitan, Johannesburg. We went downtown to the bottom of N Street, which everyone says is so dangerous, so crazy. And you can't believe the things that are going on there, the urban renewal, the renewal and the development of old buildings and making into cool shops, cool shopping areas, restaurants. So much live music going on in Johannesburg. Durban as well. Durban was amazing. Durban is huge. It was truly amazing. The Golden Mile is all renewed. It's beautiful. It's safe. Went to Sharkaland. Just if anyone wants to go for a travel to Transvaal, well, it's called Mpumalanga now, the Natal area, get in touch with me. I can give you great tips. And Errol, everyone asked after you. Everybody.
Yes.
Even at the airport.
Well, they're still looking for me. Oh, no. Lucky I can go with you.
Errol's friend. How's Errol?
I'm on the most wanted list. It makes me feel so good.
It was really nice. But the one thing that upset me was we were leaving Umhlanga. We stayed at the Cabana Beach. Man, I mean, I hadn't been there since the 80s. It was amazing. And we left early in the morning. And the things are high. We rented this big combi, 11-seater, because there were seven of us. And then still all the baggage. And all the way driving through, it turns out that
there is no way to talk about your mother-in-law.
No, but she loved it. She absolutely loved the food and everything. So we left on early on Saturday morning to get to. I wanted to try to get to Pretoria because I had tickets to see the Springboks against the Argentina rugby match. Anyway, it was raining. The match was nearly rained out, but we missed the game. That was like the one sad thing. But it was amazing. I didn't tell you this actually. When we were in Umhlanga, so you go shopping, you know, because you cook your own food in the cabanas. And I went to the Pick and Pay, and I was doing shopping, and had pineapples. Now, in Israel, a pineapple, each pineapple is about 10 American dollars. And they're small and they're ugly. In South Africa, a pineapple... yeah. Inside, a pineapple cost me 3 rand a pineapple. So the first day I got 2 pineapples. I took them home and the kids devoured them. So every morning I'd go out and I'd buy like 4 or 5 delicious, huge, yellow, golden pineapples. You know, It's those little things that people overseas tend to forget, that it just makes you think, wow, this is amazing, you know. And obviously the safari, we were at a private lodge, a friend invited me to a private lodge, and we had our own drivers and trackers and stuff, and it was just incredible. The animals you see there, and they just come right, it's amazing, truly amazing. I sound like an advert for traveling to South Africa, but it's well worth it. I'm sure my next travel, you know, hopefully my next trip there will be down to the to Cape Town area, the Garden Route area.
The Wild Coast.
Yeah, I'll rent even a bigger combi.
Now, I wanted to ask, Sean, because you hear so many conflicting opinions, and I think that your opinion is a very educated one. When in the good old days, 7 years ago, when I left there, there was crime and all sorts of nonsense. But even in Johannesburg, I used to love to eat, for example, the kosher people, better close their ears, from a place called African Dish. They gave you, for about $10, they gave you a huge slab of meat, millipap sauce, and everything. And I used to sit in amongst the guys there, and we used to joke and laugh, and it had like the heart of Africa beating. There was like a warmth and a love in Africa. Has that disappeared, or does that still exist?
I tell you the truth, Errol. I didn't come, you know, I found very, very, very little fear. I mean, if you look at statistics, I mean, South Africa does have a lot of crime. I mean, Israel has crime, Australia has crime. But it seems that the crime in South Africa is quite violent, okay? The stories I'd heard of the same people where they're telling stories that something that happened to them 10, 15 years ago. Okay? Obviously, I didn't walk around at night. And we listened to advice and we kept the doors closed at night and we did whatever you meant to do at night driving around Johannesburg. But in Umhlanga and in Vryheid, I walked around at 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night alone and I truly felt safe. Johannesburg's a big city in Africa. Obviously, there's going to be problems. But I mean, everyone's very aware of it, and because of that, I think you take care. But no one will walk around at night. But I don't think in any third world country, Africa or South America, you're really going to do that.
Yeah.
What I was afraid of was the anti-Israel, or what you read about on the internet, anti-Jewish feeling. And because I also went there when there was this little war going on in Israel. And I really didn't feel it. Everybody was so happy to meet me. And I'm not saying people I know, people I don't know in Freight, in all the little places we stopped. I mean, we got stopped by a policeman outside a little town called Amsterdam.
Mm.
Okay, Amsterdam, it's like 99% non-whites there. We got stopped speeding by a policeman outside Amsterdam. So he stops me and I say, where are you from? He says, where are you from? I said, I'm from Israel. So he didn't believe me because of my South African accent. So I pulled out my passport, and he got so excited that I'm a visitor from Jerusalem that he said, okay, just carry on, you're speeding, but just go on, eh? Just enjoy your stay. And I mean, in Israel, if a cop pulls you over and you're a tourist, you'll still get the ticket. You know, so I mean, people at the banks, everywhere, people were really kind and courteous, and it was cool. I honestly loved every minute of it. I went to, you know, when I was in Freight, I went to the cemetery. Now, the Jewish cemetery is, they must have a couple of dozen graves. And it's part of the whole big cemetery in Freight. And I went there. It was unbelievably well looked after. The lawn was mowed and it was clean and everything. And I started chatting to the guys who work in there. Obviously, they're the guys who dig the graves and mow the lawn and keep it clean. And they said, of course, you know, it's, you know, these people are buried here and our job is to look after it. And we look after it. And there's no Jews left in the town at all or anything. And I really felt good. I must say, I felt good. I felt welcome. People were happy that I was there. And people were making conversation and talking to the kids and really treating the kids brilliantly. That's all I can say.
You know, I mean, this anti-Semitic Jewish these individuals are led around by their noses. They haven't got a clue what they're talking about. But if you come face to face with a South African, a black South African. I had one fellow, I don't know what we were doing, but anyway, he said, "Oh," he said, "you are Jewish." So I said, "Yeah, that's right." He says, "Hey, man, I love you so much." They don't, they might go on a rally march. But if you say to them, "What are you doing?" He says, "No, I don't know."
Everyone likes a rally march. If 100 people are walking in that direction, you walk with them. But I tell you, I found there, I mean, because I was actually looking for it. I was looking to see what's going on because of anti-Zionism. And it seems that it's the politicians, the academics, and the newspapers, that are really anti-Zionist or anti-imperialist or anti-America. And the average person in the street, was just didn't mind and was just happy was just really happy and helpful. I swear, you'd ask people directions and everyone would go out of the way to help you. In the littlest corner, man, we got lost between Burke's Luck potholes and I don't even know what it's called, this little town up in the northeast. And these guys came and they were giving us directions and they're being so nice to us for no reason. And they didn't have to at all.
In South Africa and all over Africa as well. I had similar experiences in Rwanda and Uganda. And so you mustn't believe everything you read in the newspapers. Now, Sean, hey, I'm sure that over the next few weeks and so on, you will serialize. How do you like that for a word?
Good word.
Some of your travels and do a little bit of this on Frey Hate and so on, because we need now you've whetted our appetites, we need to get the inside story.
I tell you what, the one thing that I did there, I went into every used bookshop I found. And I was looking because I've gone through all the books I have, and I've really got a half a wall library just on South African history. And I found some amazing books, an amazing history. And now, because since the end of apartheid, it's really over 20 years, but since the end of apartheid, a lot of non-white or non-Boer history is coming out and being written about in books, and is being studied and being investigated. And there's just however many stories I thought there were, there's a million more stories and a million more informations and legends, and it's just unbelievably rich. It's the most amazing thing. Actually, the funny thing is that I was sitting chatting to this guy. I actually made a story about the Lemba tribe who claim they're Jewish and they come from King David, and I actually believe it. So anyway, I once did a program on them. Check it up on my archives. But so anyway, I met the leader of these guys. He's a professor at the University of the North. He's like the leader of this of the Lemba tribe, and they actually the tribe that introduced circumcision to all the tribes in Southern Africa, all those hundreds and hundreds and even a thousand years ago. Okay, and he was telling me the most amazing stories and the most amazing information that I've all written down. I'm busy researching it all because it's fascinating. But so he gave me a lot of amazing information. Hopefully, in one of my programs, I can get him involved. He'll be very happy to speak to me, very happy to speak to us, and he'll actually be very happy to come visit Israel again. And So one quick story, Errol. One quick story. We were in Soweto. We were in Soweto, doing a little tour around Soweto, and we were taken to this amazing place. Obviously, everyone hates the government. It's same as in Israel, everyone hates the government, and I'm sure in Sri Lanka, everyone hates the government. Everyone hates their own government. But so we went there, and there was this guy, this Rasta guy with long dreadlocks. I mean, he's the kind of guy that you think would be selling dope on the side of the road, really. or a musician, you know. And we were taken to his place, and he's got this place that looks after orphans. And over the years, hundreds and hundreds of orphans have gone through him, and all political people come and promise him this and promise him that, and actually, at the end of the elections, they just forget all about him. And I was talking to him, my wife and I were talking to him, the group was walking around, and he was playing with my kids, and he must be in his 60s, with long dreadlocks and a long beard, and he said, you know where I got this idea to set this thing up from? He said, I once, in the 70s, I was at a kibbutz near Be'er Sheva. and that's where I got the idea to set this thing up. And look at us. And now we've got tens and tens of children who've gone through us, and are the only children in the whole, in this particular suburb of Soweto, who've actually got matrics. And I got this idea from a kibbutz. That's what he said to me. We had a long chat about it, near Be'er Sheva in the desert. So,
yeah. It all starts in good old Israel.
It's so strange, you know, it's so strange. But if you want good food, if you want beautiful scenery, amazing animal life, and interesting people and stories, just go to South Africa. And your money's worth a lot there. I mean, the dollar, if you go with dollars or euros, you know, you're really the king of the world. You really are.
Well, sure, now you've whetted my appetite. Now I must make a plan.
No, I know. And yes, I did, but you know I'm kosher these days. Well, I'm kosher. Non kosher biltong is much tastier. I mean, there's no doubt. But biltong, you know, I had biltong, I had boerewors, you know, last time I had boerewors was many years ago. And I actually came back. I came back with cool things like Ultramel.
Let me guess. Salt and vinegar chips.
Well, and flings, man. And knickknacks. I tell you, I came back with I came back with chakalaka, quite a lot of chakalaka. And of course, Blatyang. Man, who can live without Blatyang? I've tried to make my own, but you can't beat Mrs. Balls.
Yeah, you can't beat Mrs. Balls' chutney.
Errol, if you remember, I've done a program on Mrs. Balls' chutney.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, somebody posted on I think it was Howard Sunday, in fact, my little friend from Netanya, and your friend as well.
Great,
fabulous young man, but I wish he would eat something and grow up. He's such a tiny little fella. Anyway, he posted on my timeline or whatever, boerewors and then I had my very good friend from America, Cindy, come and say that she's never seen anything so revolting looking. And I promised her that if she ever comes here to Israel, the first thing I do is make some boerewors and force her to eat it, and then she'll be hooked for life.
No, boerewors. I'd expect that someone who's never seen it before would look at it and, you know, but. I absolutely love it. But when I was in Vryheid, you know, my parents had very good friends, okay, the Tarons, Joan Taron. And she really made me very welcome in Vryheid. And, I mean, she's in her 80s, but she was very good to us. And she took me to a place that her friend owns. It's a little tea shop in Vryheid, in this old building. I mean, still in Vryheid, there's no buildings more than three stories high. You know, and we went there, and this shop had coffee and tea and an array of milk tat and cook sisters. I bought a dozen cook sisters, and it was just even too sweet for my children. In 4 days, Errol, I finished all the cook sisters myself.
You know, Shona, you're gonna make me cry just now. because you know, it's funny how, to me, boerewors is a thing of beauty. I look at it uncooked, and I look at it unfolding itself on the braai, and then just before it enters my mouth, I mean, it's a thing of sheer magnificence.
Yeah, and pup. But the thing is that pup, I actually made pup one day when I was there. Pup is a lot of work, eh? Oof, it's a lot of work. You can get tennis elbow from making pup.
But it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. Anyway, so we definitely going to carry on with the South African in my archives as well, and in my chronicles. I'm going to get to some good stories, but I'll just want to tell what's happening with us in the future, Errol. I think that's important.
All right. Well, I think what we do is because we have another little thing to showcase, and of course we will have this young lady hopefully next week, but she's only 14 years old, so I'm liaising with her mother, and we're going to have her on radio, and we're going to now this is just a talent of the future, and she's one of Addie Lang's young ladies, young butterflies, and of course Addie Lang, whom this radio station loves more than anything on earth, she's Madam Butterfly. She's the Mother Butterfly. She's the person, and if you read Addie Lang's story and her illness and her recovery, she's an icon. She's a strength. I don't know. I can't find the words to say about Addie Lang, but when you go near Addie Lang, if you have talent, she then turns you into gold. Okay, I don't know where she finds the talent. I don't know what she does, but she turns you into gold. Now, this young lady, as I say, now just bear in mind when I play the song, she's only 14 years old. Listen to her control. Listen to her composure, and we will have her next week as well. So, Sean, before we start to wrap up and tell everybody what the future holds, and that's so exciting I can barely control myself, let's hear a little bit from this young lady. Her name is Shay. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. S-H-A-E. It's Shay. Yeah, I think so. Webb. And just listen to this and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And after that, we'll come back and wrap it up there, Sean, eh?
Okay, good. Enjoy.
You build me high.
Well, Shauna, 14 years old, that's pretty good.
That's unbelievable. That's truly, she's got a beautiful, beautiful voice, and she's very, very strong for 14 years old. Well, that's beautiful. Hopefully we can interview her and her mother and have a sing for
them. I wish I could. I'll show her photographs, obviously, before her interview. She's young, and she's just beautiful, and she's intelligent, and she's well-spoken. And as I say, when Eddie Lang digs them out, boy, they are pretty good. So, and of course, we'll follow her career over the years and watch her grow and grow and grow, and we'll take credit for everything we can.
I agree. No problem. All right. So,
I just wanted to ask you, how many psychiatrists does it take to change a light bulb?
I don't know.
It only takes one. But that light bulb has got to want to change.
You're fair. All right, okay. That's a Belen joke.
That's a Belen. And because it's got no sex or dirty in it, it's a little bit weak, but it's the best I can do under the circumstances.
Yes. Right. So Errol, so listen, all I can say is that we've got we're back on track. Please go to our site called radioprotea.com. You can go into any of our old programs. We're busy working on the archives. Everything's archived. Just press and listen. We're going to be naming the archives and explaining each program more, so you can just press on whatever you want to listen to. And if anyone wants to know a story or a history or tell me a story for my chronicles, which tells the stories and legends and history of different things in South Africa's past, please just send us a mail or contact us on Facebook, and we'll be happy. If you want to tell your own story, if you want to be interviewed, if you've got a story to tell or an experience or something, please just get in touch with us. We'll be happy to put you on. But our regular shows are Joni Rose Helps, the amazing, the one and only Joan Zawadzki, who's helped thousands and thousands of people over an amazing career. Gives advice, gives a lot of advice, gives tips, gives help. Check our site, check the Facebook for her weekly program that will be coming up. Also Errol Belen on Real Radio, generally on Thursday nights. Also always got some interesting story or chat or guest or music, and my programs and other programs coming along. Please just don't be strangers, be friends.
Yeah, I think we need to stress that people needn't be scared of us. We're not monsters. Give us a bit of feedback, negative, positive, whatever the negative stuff we'll take, we'll read it, and we'll just chuck it away. But the positive and the positive stuff, and let's hear what you want to hear on Radio Protea. Radio Muggin, we will discuss that with the listeners at a later stage. And of course, we'll have our regulars on that because the story, you know, I mean, even if you take what's happened since we've been off air for a while, just in Jerusalem alone, and in Sydney, in Australia, at the coffee shop, and at the newspaper, the cartoonist, the slaughter there, and the kosher supermarket. The slaughter of the innocents continues, but there's been a kind of a rebirth. The march with all the world leaders heading their march, with old Benjamin Netanyahu at the forefront, made me feel very proud indeed. I think we've turned a corner. So
can I say something, Errol?
Yeah.
I must say that I think there was only a show because it was in Europe. Man, look what's going on in Nigeria. 2,000 were killed by Boko Haram, and no one said anything. Still, no one does anything. If it's not in Europe, no one actually gives a damn, and that's the disgusting thing, you know.
That's
happening all over Africa. And in the Arab world, and no one does anything about it. The United Nations doesn't do anything about it. No one gives a damn. And when it happens in Europe, where much less amount of people, it's equally gruesome and equally sad and tragic. But people got to stand up and say, hey, listen, man, what's going on in Nigeria? What's going on in Zimbabwe? What's going on all over? It's not cool.
Yeah, well, today alone, what Boko Haram did is,
yes,
is beyond the scope of human comprehension. But it's as you say, it's not just an isolated incident here and there. It's going on all the time. Those young ladies that were taken captive, half of them are still missing, or more than half are still missing. So you're right. But maybe if we've turned the corner and we start to peel back this evil, and that's why we're going to use Radio Muggin to consolidate all of that and to have a home for everybody who's got something to say about that coming on to Radio Muggin, and maybe we can make an impact around the entire world, that the entire world understands that this is mankind's problem. It's not just, oh, well, I've got a problem here and a problem there. Humanity needs to come to the rescue of other humans and defeat these savages. So we will do that. We will cover that. So Radio Muggin will do all of that. And so all the fun of the fair will be had on Radio Protea. And Radio Muggin will handle some of the more serious issues. And so if anybody wants to present something to everybody else, to say something, or to have us look into something, please just drop us a line on the website, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Zitter, on Bitter, and that's what Radio Protea is here for. Just to do it and to entertain and to bring your story to the rest of the world, your music, your books, whatever it is, we bring it to the whole world. So if you emerging and you're trying to get something going, give us a shout. We'll help you if you can.
All right, Errol, well, it was so cool to talk to you again from Super.
Yeah, it was so lucky to be on radio. Lekker, by the way, is in non-South African, is superb. I think also one of our main objectives is to be sure that we South Africanize everybody, so they all
yes.
speak the language correctly and so on. So we'll carry on doing that, teaching them how to eat like a South African, behave like a South African, and mostly to talk like a South African.
Yeah, well, that's I think that'll save a lot of the world's problems.
Indeed it will. So
yeah.
Sean,
yeah.
this was lovely. Thank you very much for all the time and effort, and the background work you've done over the last few months has been amazing. And I know things haven't been easy, because we've been hacked, blacked, sacked, and bracked by everybody and his uncle and everything. And as soon as we announced that we're coming live from Jerusalem, then a whole bunch of hackers come as well. But I think by and large we've overcome these problems. And we've got some new equipment and some new equipment on the way. So I think that once everything gels, Radio Protea will really be a force to be reckoned with.
Yes. So, Errol, best of luck. We'll talk soon. Just keep your eyes and ears open, Facebook and everything, for Joni Rose's show. Joni Rose Helps. Amazing. The amount of people that have listened to in the past, we can see by statistics. And the amount of mail we get asking when she's coming back, you got to catch her show. And let's all just enjoy it. If you want anything, just send us letters. We'll be happy to answer you.
Because we've had a lot of people coming back to us or saying, oh, geez, at last, congratulations, you're back on air. From amazing places. Valerie, whom we all love, the beautiful Valerie, in France. She said hello. Yusuf from and his team from Kampala Police Station in Uganda. I mean, just from South Africa, from Australia, from New Zealand. It's just been amazing the kind of feedback we get. People that have had, like the Hebrew Coffee Club, that got together on a Thursday night or sometimes on a Wednesday morning to listen to your show, drink coffee and listen. So we need real feedback. So okay, this is what we really want, and then we'll do it.
Yes. So thank you for joining us. You can always listen to our podcast, as I've said a few times today. Enjoy it. Contact us. And Errol, good night and good luck.
Yeah, very nice. And so until the next time, be safe, be happy, and we'll hear from you very soon. So this is Errol Barron saying until the next time, it's goodbye.
Gave this land to me, this brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals her hills and plains, then I where children can run free. So take my hand and walk this land with me, and walk this lovely land with me. Though I know I can be strong. I know I can.